This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Well, welcome along to It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer. My name's Darren Harper, and joining us, as ever, it is Carlton Palmer. Hello, Carlton.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good. How are you?
We had a little bit of food poisoning from our previous trip, and I suppose, you know, what they always say is karma gets you. We were gloating a little bit about being on the beach and everybody struggling in the UK on with bad weather, and then we got struck by this bacterial virus. So, hey ho.
Well, we wish you well. I hope you're recovering quite well with that. Lots to chat about this week, Carlton. Let's start with the biggest game over the weekend, shall we? Man City against Manchester United. City could have won the league against their old rivals. Didn't turn out that way. They always talk about a game of two halves. My word, that really was a game of two halves, Carlton.
Well, it was. I mean, Man City were just scintillating in the first half. And as far as the game was concerned, it was finished at half time. Maybe should have made, they had a lot of chances and maybe should have took maybe one more. I mean, forward, you would have thought the game was over. But still at 3-0 at half time, you go in and you think it's over. But defensively, City, last two games, I mean, Pep's changed the system and rotated the side. I don't understand why, and it's cost him. I really don't understand why he would do that. And it's cost him dearly. I mean, second half, they're 3-0, they go in, the manager's going to make some adjustments and have a go at the players, and you see the response that was in the...
That second half, I don't know where that second half performance has come from United, because we've not really seen them like that all season. And it's possibly the best 45 minutes we've seen from Paul Pogba in a United shirt.
I think people have given Paul Pogba a lot of stick. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. And I think he should be allowed to play the way that he was allowed to play in the second half. Also, I think the fact that there was a little bit of a needle set up, it seems to me that either the agent or Guardiola's lying about whether Pogba was offered to Man City or not in the January window. It was a bit of mischief, but as a player, you then want to go out and show what you're about, and fair play to him. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I think he's got to be played in the right way. In terms of allowing him, you know, to run forward and run backwards and not put a stipulation or a title on his role within the side. And I know Mourinho doesn't like players like that. He likes his two older midfield players, and he likes to, you know, be nice and secure and tight. But to get the best out of Paul Pogba, you've got to allow him to run forward, run backwards and do what he does best.
Yeah, quite right. They need to sort of unshackle him. There's no doubt about that. The other concern, I mean, this is interesting, obviously, because it certainly paves the way for an interesting week, certainly for Man City. Losing in the Champions League against Liverpool, they're 3-0 down there. They've lost now against Manchester United within the same week. They've got to play Liverpool in the second leg of that Champions League game tomorrow. They're obviously going to win the title. I think that would be unbelievable if they don't win the title now. But from the beginning of the week, where everything was looking so good for Man City, within the space of a week, it's just completely turned around for them.
Yeah, that's football for you. That's football. Well, the Man United game's not such a bad loss because, as you say, they're going to win the league. From the supporters' point of view, bragging rights and all that, they'll not be too happy about that. The Champions League, let me tell you, against Liverpool, is not over. That is not over by a long chalk. Guardiola is one of those men. He's very meticulous. He's always striving for perfection. And he's tinkered with the system. He's tinkered with players. Are they capable of going out and overturning that scoreline against Liverpool? Absolutely, yes, they are.
Let's move on, Carlton, to Leeds United. Disappointing from Leeds over the weekend. They're up against Sunderland. bottom of the table Sunderland, you'd probably expect more. But the other concern is, like, you know, Gaetano Berardi, everybody sort of really rates Gaetano Berardi, but that's another sending off for him. That's the end of his season now. They're reckoning 5-game ban.
Yeah, I know. He seems to lack a bit of discipline. I mean, he's obviously got something about him as a football player, but, you know, the one thing you have to do is you have to control your emotions, you can control your temper. You know, this is something Dele Alli's got to learn at Tottenham, otherwise people will target you, wind you up, and you'll be ever set on the bench, and then you're no use to the team. Leeds, I think the manager is looking at, I think, towards the end of the season and looking at players who he wants to keep for next season, who he should get rid of for next season. He has a lot of work to do with that Leeds team. Yes, they're not a team that you would look at and say next season that they're going to challenge to get promotion. Neither are Sheffield Wednesday, by the way. I mean, you know, I do not like to see Sheffield Wednesday lose, but what I don't want to see is what's happened in previous years, that Sheffield Wednesday start getting good results towards the end of the season, and because the senior players are back and everybody thinks, oh, well, this is going to be great for next season. It's not. Needs a big clear out at Sheffield Wednesday. Senior players, when it's on them, they didn't do it. There's no pressure now. The season's over. They're not going to get relegated. You know, so it's all right to go out and play with that freedom. You've got to play when you're under pressure. And they didn't do that. So, you know, the manager and the chairman, you know, don't want to look at full storms. And I think that's the same with Leeds. They're looking at the players now and trying to assess who to get out and so they can bring the right players in for the start of next season.
There's no doubt that this summer is just, I mean, we sort of seem to be saying it every year with Leeds and with Sheffield Wednesday, but this summer is massive for both of those clubs when they look at recruitment and the sort of players that they're bringing in. I mean, Leeds brought in a load of players in the off-season last year through Victor Orta and their director of football, and only one, maybe two of those players have turned out to be okay. And there is a lot of pressure on both those teams, I think, Leeds and Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday, in their recruitment this summer.
Yeah, it's massive. I remember going back with Nigel Pearson when he was manager of Leicester, and he felt that that was the problem at Leicester. And he reckoned it just messes the squad about. And I think he only brought in one player in the team that went on eventually to get promotion to the Premier League. But unfortunately, I'm not saying for Sheffield Wednesday that all the players have got to go. I don't think that's the case. But they need, the side's not right. The senior players, when needed to this season, have not stepped up to the plate. A lot of them have been injured. A lot of them are aging. So there has to be some clear out. And obviously, you know, the players that you bring in, you've got to bring in those right players because you have them on 3 or 4 year contracts, and to keep shipping out players and bringing players in. I was told as a manager, and Alex Ferguson, Ron Atkinson, all the top managers will tell you, 6 out of your 10 signings that you sign for your football club have got to be right. If they're not, you're going to be in serious trouble, both the club and you as the manager.
Quite right, too. Let's talk. Well, some really sad news in the last week while you were away. We heard of the passing of Ray Wilkins, just 61 years old, Carlton. Really, really sad news. An absolute legend, not just for Chelsea, but Manchester United and, of course, England, QPR. A real sad loss. And everything that I've heard over this last week about Ray is, you know, just what a gentleman the guy was. He always had time for people and just one of the nice guys in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was away when I heard the news, and I was absolutely devastated. You know, I said to my missus, you know, I've known Ray an awful lot of time, a long time. I remember when he went to QPR, and this is at the tail end of his career, the tail end of his career. And Ron Atkinson said to me, you've got to do a man-to-man job on Ray Wilkins. And I absolutely marked him out of the game. He never had a touch. We won the game, everything. So we're playing the return leg at Loftus Road. And he must have told all the players that he can't take a touch on the ball, because if he takes a touch, I'll close him down. He played that 90 minutes at 37, 38, one-touch football. It was the best example of one-touch, playing the ball round the corner, movement and whatever. I couldn't get anywhere near him. He was an absolute fantastic football player. He was a good friend of mine, somebody I had a lot of respect for. And when people used to criticise me, and Ray was working in the media, he always used to turn around to people and say, you haven't played against him. You haven't played with him, or you haven't played against him. And he always used to stick up for me and say that I was underrated. And he's just a nice bloke. If Ray Wilkins says something nasty about something, somebody, he would genuinely mean it. But you'd have to find and look very hard for him to have said something about somebody and have that opinion. It's just a tragic shame, really, for him. And he's been through a lot, because Jackie wasn't so well at a period of time. And I met him in Dubai when we were doing a bit of TV work. And he was really upset about that, because they've been together over 40 years. And then, you know, for this to happen to Ray is a shock, you know, for me, Cyril going and then Ray. He really is a gen. As I say, I don't like, you know, saying things for the sake of it, even though somebody has died. But Ray was honestly just a nice bloke, and you talk football with him all night. He's just a footballing bloke, and it's sad. It's sad.
It is really sad, and it's interesting as well. You look at the sort of style of play Ray Wilkins was for all those years, and you know, he came under quite a bit of criticism during some of his career, because you know, people didn't think he was the most exciting of players, or you know, he'd be passing it to the left, to the right, and it is exactly what, you know, he was way before his time, because that's exactly what Premier League teams are after now, is players that can keep on the ball, keep the ball, not lose the ball. And he very much had that sort of European flavour of football about him.
Well, he did, but you see, you didn't hear fellow players criticise him. Players who played with him, players who played against him, you never heard them criticising. All you heard is the media criticise him. I used to laugh when people used to say he played the ball square. He played the ball square to get a bit of space, to get it back, to play forward.
Yeah.
And that's what teams are doing now. That's all he did. He just kept the ball moving to create an angle to play it forward. And when he got the angle to play it forward, he played it forward accurately and got his team on the offence. He's a tremendous footballer. And, you know, to go and play, he was a continental-style football playing in the Premier League. His touch, his ability to play the game with both feet. You know, it was a shame when, you know, he came out of coaching, because somebody like Ray should have been in coaching, but I can say that about so many people outside the game now. They should be in coaching and not in there. But that's the game. That's the way the game's become now. And Ray would struggle in this era of football being a business, because he's just too nice a guy and too straight a guy. So that's why he wasn't in the game as he should have been. You know, you would think that clubs and these so-called directors of football at all of these top clubs would want somebody of the knowledge of Ray Wilkins, who've been there, who've seen it, who've done it, you know, who can actually coach it as well, you know. So it's sad. It's sad. It's very sad. And as I say, it's a sad day for as a human being, because he's a genuine good guy, a genuinely good guy. And I'm sorry for his family. My thoughts and prayers are with his family. And again, it's just a reminder for me and other people that you never know what's around the corner. So make the most of your life. Enjoy, take risks, take opportunities. Try. If you fail, get up, go again, because you never know what's around the corner.
Yeah, so good advice, Carlton, good advice. From one good player to another great player, Ronaldo scored a quite a good goal in the Champions League last week. It was absolutely stunning, really, in that game for Real Madrid, overhead kick. People have been talking about it all week. What were your thoughts on that? And I was just wondering as well, when you were playing, what's the best goal you've ever witnessed, you know, either against you or for your team you were playing with?
Well, I mean, Ronaldo, he's, like I've said before, it's just a phenomenon. I mean, somebody printed the stats out between Messi and Ronaldo the other day, and apparently they've scored the same amount of goals, something like 438, 440 goals, exactly the same amount of goals, which is frightening, you know, and the quality of the goals they score. But that just shows you, with you, when you've got talent and hard work, you know, there's no better example in football than these two in the era for any young kids aspiring to be footballers or anything in life. You work hard, you're determined, you make the sacrifices, and you can do what these guys do. But no, I mean, I've been lucky enough to play in some games where there's been some frightening goals being scored. Gary McAllister, I remember one game, a chip he scored, which was absolutely frightening. And at international level, you know, when we played Wembley, Bergkamp's chip was sublime. So, yeah, I mean, there's some great goals. Okay, you know, to sit here and reel them off, there's been a load, and a few of them scored against me, which was not so great.
No, exactly right, exactly right. Let's talk about another of your teams, which is West Brom. Since we last spoke, they parted ways with Alan Pardew. What were your thoughts on? Well, I mean, this season's just been horrendous for West Brom.
Well, it was like I've said, and we're repeating ourselves. I thought it was wrong to get rid of Pulis, just because they didn't like his style of play, and now they're going to be in the Championship. So that's cost them an awful lot of money. And then the appointment of Pardew wasn't the right appointment. And I think what the board did, to be fair, they thought, well, there's no need to make a change now. Let's have a good look around and see who's available. To help us to make a serious challenge of getting promotion next year. And I think what they may well have thought also that, you know, Alan Pardew might have been involved in keeping them in, you know, being able to maybe get them back to the Premier League. So at the time they were probably thinking, well, we'll keep him and then we'll have a look at the situation. But there, it seems that the morale. And, you know, I've not spoken to Moore, but I've seen he's talking about togetherness and everybody pulling together. So I think the board have looked and thought, well, no, he's not going to take us back next season. So we might as well get him out and get the morale going back in the club and then make the right decision to get somebody back. I mean, for me, I've said it and I've said it out straight away. I think he's a great fit for Nigel Pearson. He's been there before. He's got a team out of that league before. Nigel needs to rebuild his CV. I think he allowed the Leicester situation to get to him. I know that personally because, you know, I've spoken to him on numerous occasions and he was bitter about what happened at Leicester. I think he's over that now. And I think his stint at Derby and whatever, you didn't really see the best of Nigel Pearson because he was still bitter about what happened at Leicester. The fact that he's now working for a subsidiary of Leicester Football Club in Belgium suggests that he's over that now. So for me, I would look at somebody like Nigel who'll come back with something to prove. The players love playing for him. He's a good leader. And I think it's a great fit for West Brom because I think they've got the money and they've got some very good players. And I think they could mount a serious challenge to get back next year at the first attempt.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think that Pearson's, you know, he's been there, seen there, done it, hasn't he, really? Certainly in the Championship with Leicester, has got them up. So, no, it'd be a great appointment for West Brom if they go down that avenue. Something that I noticed as well, we always are talking about football owners getting themselves into trouble, maybe a fit and proper test of, you know, a lot of fans have got questions over whether or not their owners should have passed a fit and proper test. Well, Accrington Stanley's owner, Andy Holt, has had a few issues with the EFL because he used to give them a win bonus of a McDonald's, and they're not very happy about this because it's not part of the standard player contract. This seems a tad ridiculous to me, Carlton.
Well, it's an absolute load of rubbish. A chairman of a football club who owns a football club can, if he wants to, the players, most clubs on the way back, if you're in the Premier League, you've got like kitchens on the bus, so they'll have food on and whatever. Sometimes you'll stop off and there'll be money that's there to pick up fish and chips in lower down in the divisions. An absolute load of rubbish. If the chairman out of his own pocket wants to give them money to stop off and get McDonald's, then he's well within his right to do that. It's his money. If he comes out as a benefiting kind, he's going to have to pay for it anyhow. So I've never heard so much rubbish in all my life. Instead of the Football League worrying about that, what they should be worrying about is people who are taking over football clubs who shouldn't be and are not passing the fit and test proper test properly. That's what they should be worrying about. Not worrying about somebody who's giving his manager £200 to buy the lads a McDonald's after the game when they've just won.
I completely agree with you, Carlton. It's absolutely staggering. It really, really is. But everything that's wrong with football in just one story, I think, really says it all more than anything else. Carlton, we'll catch up with you again next week. Thanks very much for your time.
I just want to say big shout out to James De Gale. He took a lot of criticism when he lost his title and he did box poorly, but he went over to the States and regained his title, and we have another British IBF middleweight champion again. And I think a lot of respect should be given to James De Gale. In a tough fight, he's gone and got his title back.
Yeah, well said. Carlton, we'll chat next week.
Okay, thanks a lot. Take care now, Darren.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.